Like Mark, I am from the Midwest, Michigan, and the only sports teams I really care about are the Lions, Red Wings, who else? Pistons and Detroit, so Tigers. So anyway, I don't know who traded who this week, Mark. I'll have to spend more time with you to become more entrenched in our culture here. But anyway, I am Juno, and again, for being here this morning, thank you. And I have the privilege of diving into a subject that in reality, many people in our tradition probably don't really care too much about. I know that because I emailed a few people this week about this subject. I asked them what they thought about the subject of Lent. One said, "You're talking about Lent, right?" And this guy was a believer. Okay. Another said, "Wake me up when it's over." I saw him be talking about Lent. I almost said Lent. Talking about Lent. And he said, "Wake me up when it's over." Someone said, "Can I give up my New Year's resolutions for Lent?" It takes a while for that one to sink in for some of you. And others feel it is absolutely unnecessary because it really falls into the category of, you know, whatever. It's one of those extras, add-ons to our faith experience. And some of you I know are probably thinking, hey, I've gotten this far in my Christian experience without even acknowledging what Lent is. So why should I start now? And if we were completely honest, some would say, isn't Lent what those other people do? Isn't Lent what the other people who have their own school do? And if they do it, then why should we? And so for us Protestants, meaning, oh, the Presbyterians, the Reformed, the Baptists, and a bunch of others, and those Methodists, you know, for the other side of the spectrum of following Jesus, Lent really isn't a part of our tradition. And we could even say, I even thought, when some of you see this sign on our front, you know, Ash Wednesday, you're probably thinking, us? Ash Wednesday at Reformed Church? The two just don't go together. And yet last year, and our Ash Wednesday experience, which is this coming Wednesday, February 14th, from noon till 7. It's a walkthrough experience. It just takes you maybe 30 minutes or so to walk through and experience in some tangible ways the upcoming season before Easter. Last year, we had over 200 people go through that process. And so for a church of our size, having 50% of our people dive into and experience this Lenten time is wonderful. And I also think, you know, as a church, we're probably much more excited about the word Advent. You know, the Advent season before Christmas, the 4 weeks before Christmas. And we have the little candles here, and they're not little, they're huge. And we light a candle representing what we're thinking about or some thoughts to help direct us. And what it's all about is to help prepare us, again, to renew our hearts in Jesus and to prepare our hearts for his coming again. But we know we get so busy during that season that we need some help and we need some guidance, and that's why there is Advent. And that is also why we need to, I don't want to say should, but Lent really provides us that space and that time for us to once again explore, relive, renew the sacrifices of Jesus on the most critical day of what Christians have, the day that Christ rose from the dead. And so I know there are different interpretations of Lent, some of you, I know your stories, I know your backgrounds, and Lent's been a very critical part and a more of a crucial part to your faith experience. And so I just think it's time for us to look at Lent again to see maybe, just maybe, there's something that we can learn, that we can experience, that we can grow closer to our Lord during these 40 days prior to Easter. I want to show you a video here that really approaches this in a little bit more of a poetic and a visual way. So let's take a look at this perspective of Lent.
It begins with a realization. An epiphany claws its way through a snarl of distractions, emblazoning itself behind your eyelids. Sometimes it's quieter, a nagging dullness in the soul, a kind of fatigue wrought by overstimulation and overprogramming. You're tired. At first, it's just a thought that emerges from the fray, but it becomes a recognition, and finally a reckoning. You look in the mirror one day, and it's plain. Just three words. I'm not ready. With our attentions wheeling around in so many directions, we feel incapable of joy. Amid the proliferation of half-satisfactions and easy pleasures, we hardly feel hungry for real resurrection. This realization of our spiritual lethargy persists. It lengthens like a shadow, and it darkens like a late afternoon in midwinter. We are not ready for Easter.
How we got here is not so important as the way out. Lent is a changing of posture, a turning around, an uncoiling of the soul that is curved in on itself.
It's taking a hard look at where our freedoms have actually enslaved us. We anesthetize our emotions as soon as we feel them. We carve our own worlds of pleasures and preferences and end up on our own. Trapped in ourselves, exiled from God and from our communities. And somewhere, we've lost our imaginations and discarded our best hopes.
The way home is always through the wilderness. The desert, the moors, the frozen tundra, the woods. These are not where we find God, but rather, their desolation and silence give us space to ponder, to listen, to be still. The journey is both physical and spiritual, involving our whole selves.
It's tough, but the ascetic disciplines of Lent make it easy to misunderstand. It's not a hunger strike or an angry discipline to secure specific demands. It's not a power play or a dissident throwdown to manipulate God, not a reciprocal exchange, thinking our effort would counterclaim God's blessing. In our hunger, our longing, and our discomfort, we meet our weakness. We confront the limits we thought we had transcended, the needs we thought we had filled. Lent is taking a break from the degrading cycle of serving incessant appetites, either our own or someone else's. It's a 40-day pilgrimage into a severe landscape of longing, hope, and expectation, where winter is slowly giving way to spring. It's 40 days of clinging to the promise of something better. It's 40 days of learning to love the future.
It's 40 days of putting one weary foot in front of the other, fueled by the hope of resurrection.
It's 40 days of following Christ's footsteps into the wilderness to prepare our hearts for his passion, the way of sorrows and Good Friday. It's 40 days of giving something up, opening our hands and letting go so that our palms are open to receive. It's 40 days of remembering that we are dust, and to dust we shall return.
This season of Lent also brings perspective. It helps to sift through and to clarify our very cluttered minds of the things that we think are so important. And it can help us align closer with the heart and the mind of our Lord. But I think if we're not intentional about doing something different, Easter will be like Christmas about 5 o'clock on Christmas Day when everything's done and you're just going, now what? 4 weeks of planning and I still feel, I'm not changed at all. And yet I was supposed to be remembering Christ, his coming, and yet here I am just blah. Easter will be the same way if we don't somehow, some way, set aside our parts of our life, parts of our mind, parts of our actions to do something to prepare our hearts for the biggest celebration of the Christian year. Again, to simply put it, you know, it's a 40-day experience before Easter. It's a 40-day experience that allows us, or not that allows us, but it gives us permission. It gives us permission to look inwardly, to be a little bit more reflective, to be take a little bit more quiet time, and to figure out, who am I? Who is God? And how do those two combine to allow me to make a difference in this world? Again, so Lent is on what day this year? Yeah. This Wednesday, February 14th. Good old Valentine's Day. And so I wouldn't suggest that you bring your significant other or a date to have ashes put on their head and say, Happy Valentine's Day, sweetie. That may just not be the right thing.